Yeah, it's very funny to be here because every single person on this council and on this panel and some that I see here in the audience, we've worked collaboratively with for years, and to actually be in the same place is like a party for me. So even though I spent all day in my room yesterday working, so not so much of a party. Okay, so I'm going to kind of change the tone a little bit. And what I feel like is exciting about the placement of my presentation for you is that every one of our fabulous presenters here are leaders and known leaders and path breakers in the research and dissemination of that research and knowledge for human trafficking. And so what I've tried to do here with my study is actually you're going to be able to relate it back to the things that you've seen in the previous presentations and be able to tie those together. So this study was a mixed methods Delphi study on child sex trafficking, and what I was trying to do is tie together what are the most important elements in healthcare provider education programs. And we'll get into that more in just a moment. But as we go through, you're going to see some photos. And these photos are going to be actual. I'm in Corpus Christi, and this is very, very, very South Texas. We're along the border region. Our primary population is 67% Latino. Our primary homeless population and trafficked population is Latino. And we have the highest gang activity in the state of Texas. And if you look at the drug cartels, and I'm going to get out of my time, but the drug cartels and how their smuggling networks work with the trafficking networks of the gangs, it's a very symbiotic relationship, and we're in the heart of it in South Texas. So you're going to see some pictures that I just looked on my phone, backpage.com Corpus Christi, and took those pictures. I want you to look at your own city and state and look at backpage.com, and you will be shocked at what you find. The children that you find, the women, the young men that look starved, that look scared. It's not always by choice. So that's just something I want to share with you. Okay, I do not have any relationships to disclose. Some background. How old does she look? About 9, maybe 11? That's my hometown. Child sex trafficking is incorporated under the umbrella of human trafficking and has been recognized as a new pandemic. It's been recognized as a global and economic public health risk. And we, as you've seen in other presentations, and if you've looked at any of the literature or heard news stories or reports, you're going to hear different estimates every time. And we have no solid methodology as to how to estimate the prevalence and occurrence of child sex trafficking and all forms of human trafficking. So, if you look, I want to share this with you. There's a great, great bibliography out there that is all of the human trafficking literature that they could gather, books, gray literature, peer-reviewed studies, from 2008 to 2014. I only looked at the peer-reviewed manuscripts. And out of 772 manuscripts on human trafficking, only 16 evaluated specific health outcomes of sex trafficking survivors. Not human trafficking. This study's focused on sex trafficking. And I excluded the ones that specifically looked at HIV and STI, sexually transmitted infections, because our health, mental and physical health outcomes are so much greater and more expansive than those. And only one specifically targeted child sex trafficking outcomes. So, and that's problematic as far as recruitment for participants and so on. Oh, I also wanted to show you something. You will see some quotes here, and all the quotes, I won't read them to you, but let me explain what they are. They're from this study. These are actual statements from survivors. Okay, this young man, what do you see? He's emaciated, isn't he? He looks very young, and he doesn't look very well nourished. So a common problem that we're looking at when we were talking about a sound methodology in estimating the numbers is that there is an inconsistent and lack of consistent reporting and databases for documenting and recognizing victims and survivors in the healthcare setting or anywhere else for that matter. And that's commonly linked to a lack of healthcare provider education and awareness. There's a scarcity of literature. It's getting much better, as evidenced by Dr. Noam's study, that evaluating the mental and physical health outcomes of this population in addition to HIV and STIs, which leads to not being recognized, right, in healthcare setting, and misdiagnosis or undertreatment. And there's also, this is a big issue, not only as a public, as a human rights, a social justice, a public health issue, but it's also a societal and global issue. There's only so much money in the pot, right? So we have to be cognizant of our ED utilization, criminality, putting people in jail that don't need to be in jail, and resource utilization. So there's not that much research on those issues as well. However, I have to tell you, over the last 5 years, it is getting better. And until now, no evidence-based framework has been developed to guide the development of comprehensive multidisciplinary healthcare provider education programs. Now, there are some fantastic programs, don't get me wrong, as far as healthcare provider education. I've developed some of them. My co-presenters have participated. Dr. Dalla is going to present on the fabulous SOAR program. However, you have to remember that each one of these programs have been developed either on the latest best practices, it comes from the scope of the developers, and there's how do we know how much we concentrate on one topic? How much do we concentrate on the recognition? How much do we concentrate on the direct interventions? How much do we concentrate on referral for appropriate referrals to increase reintegration? That was the question. And it wasn't until 2008, this is how new that this science is, and we're still evolving, we're still growing. 2008, the American Nurses Association adopted a position statement on human trafficking, and the American Medical Women's Association in 2014. And as Dr. Stokolosa talked about earlier with our leader here, Dr. McKinney Chisholm-Straker, is our APHA policy was adopted yesterday. So you can see, thank you. You can see we truly are in our infancy. So if you, each one of you in this room, you're groundbreakers. You are groundbreakers. All right, so I needed to develop a conceptual model. If we want to get funding for something, if we want our organizations to have buy-in, to allow us time and resources, we need to be able to verbalize what we foresee happening. Okay, great, healthcare provider education, meaning doctors, nurses, first responders, physician assistants, advanced practice nurses. And I incorporate a lot of times, depending if it's like the size of your organization, your case management, your social workers, because they are an integral part of that team in the acute care ED emergency clinic or ER setting. So healthcare, what I conceptualize is that a healthcare provider education, quality education, increases the recognition of victims. And in increasing the recognition of victims, that also increases our availability to report, which contributes to a better understanding of our true numbers. It also increases appropriate referrals. One of my survivors said, they sent me to a homeless shelter. I couldn't believe it. She was raped 6 times in one night at the homeless shelter. So appropriate referral. Potential outcomes include improved provider and survivor safety, improved mental and physical health outcomes, improved referral for reintegration, and increased support for prosecutors. Increased support for prosecution efforts, meaning physician and healthcare provider documentation. So the purpose of this study, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go fast. The purpose of this study was to draw on the collective intelligence of international multidisciplinary experts in child sex trafficking to recognize the most important elements of a healthcare provider education program. And these participants were international around the world, which also included survivor input. So this is a research question, which is basically a restatement. This is Corpus Christi. In phase one, this research study in phase one, we utilized surveys to evaluate demographics. We utilized open-ended exploratory questions for thematic analysis to identify the most important elements to put into phase two. And then we asked our participants in phase two, our survivors and experts, to rank those on order of importance. And we used an ICVI, Individual Content Validity Index, which don't try to get your head around that if you're not a stats person. I'm going to show you a slide. Sample selection was purposive and snowball. Our final sample was 23 experts and 10 survivors. Our results, a total of 56 subcontent areas were identified for inclusion within 11 primary content areas. One thing that was significant was that we had 7 with perfect consensus in the survivors and 3 with perfect consensus in the experts' findings. And I'm going to show you those tables. All right, so this is the important thing, and I'll try to go over this quickly. But there are 17 of these tables for any government organization, anyone concerned with developing healthcare provider education programs. So the category, say that you're struggling. What do I put in the introduction? Well, what we have identified with these experts is that these are the most important subcategories: definitions, healthcare provider roles, challenges, humanized, stereotypes. And then if you look over at the ICVI, you can see the highest ranking to the lowest ranking. And those are just some of the expert statements, just as examples. But the beauty of this and what's exciting about this is we don't all have the same pot of money, right? So, for instance, SOAR has a 2-hour program. I do a 5-hour training for Shared Hope International. Different hospitals that I know do 30-minute online CEs. So it depends on what your resources are, what's your bandwidth, and what type of funding that you have. If you've only got 30 minutes, then you know you're going to have to take the 17 slides or 17 tables and take that highest ICVI. Whereas if you have a 2-hour program, you can take for the majority and put the emphasis of your program on the next 2 or 3. But if you, like me, have a 5-hour program, or if you're developing a whole graduate or doctoral level course, you can incorporate all based on the ICVIs of international experts. This is like you calling 33 international experts and saying, what should I put in this section and how much weight should I put on it? Okay, survivor results. I'm going to go through these quickly. Same thing. 1 means perfect consensus. Perfect consensus among the experts. In the recognition section is, of course, red flags. When you're talking about your interventions or treatments, safety, both provider and survivor. And documentation, the number one thing that we don't see enough talked about in our literature is what's important to document. So, and this is a protection mechanism for the victim as well as help with prosecutorial efforts for the perpetrators. Patient-quoted statements. And the survivors it's really funny because, again, all the experts come from diverse backgrounds, right? But the survivors have all lived the same realm of experience. So it was interesting to see that perfect consensus among survivors on all of these issues. And I'm sorry I don't have time to go into these more, but please be looking for this. It's in final revision for publication. It should be out this year. Okay, implications for practice, target audience, nurses, advanced practice nurses, physicians, organizations, government, psychology, psychiatry, first responders. Anyone can use this framework. And it provides the first framework for the development of programs, not programs, but for the development, to guide development. The additional benefit of flexibility, like we discussed, if we only have 30 minutes versus 5 hours. And very, very importantly, is it provides insight and survivor perspectives and recommendations from survivors. Recommendations for future research is replication and expansion. We have done that. Members of my co-presenters here and I are currently, we've expanded this study. We've tripled our participants. We've included all ages and all forms of human trafficking, and we are in our first round of data analysis on that. We should be rolling into round 2 by the end of November. Pre-test, post-test evaluation of any developed curriculum is critical. And then multidisciplinary collaborative research. This is such a huge, complex phenomenon that we really have to include as many disciplines as possible. Everyone that this touches into our research and education efforts. And I'm sorry I went over my time, but thank you. And my references are behind this slide.